Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Before we hop in the interview, I just want to say it's the last chance to start release and recovery during this holiday season. We have started our release and recovery course with a huge community on gen.health, and we're all working on finding stress and relief for those aches and pains in our body, especially coming into a busy holiday season. The community starts today, but you can still get in at a discount. And as an Optimal Body listener, we will give you a bonus discount if you use code OPTIMAL10 at checkout. That'll give you an extra $10 off the already discounted price. So head down to the link in the show notes. It's just gen.health/release, and make sure you use code OPTIMAL10 at checkout to get that extra discount. All right, let's get into the interview.
I am excited to have on the podcast and talk about skin health and acne and break down some myths with Danielle Gronich. Now, she is the leading acne expert and the co-founder and formulator and CEO of ClearStem. And this is the first clinically effective skincare wellness routine formulated with zero pore clogging ingredients. And after struggling for 10 plus years with cystic acne and 3 failed rounds of Accutane, Danielle dove into the latest clinical research to earn her license as a clinical esthetician and acne specialist, determined to deliver safe and more effective alternatives to conventional skincare. She opened the San Diego Acne Clinic in 2014 and gained her reputation as the acne guru, working with patients of all ages, ethnicities, and skin types. And in 2017, Danielle joined forces with integrative health practitioner and nutritionist Kaylee Christina to create ClearStem, a comprehensive ecosystem of topical products, international nutrition supplements, and root cause resources that have empowered thousands of people on their path to clear skin for life, because clear skin changes everything. Now, before we dive into all the juicy details, I just want to say that they were so amazing. Not only did they send me product that I've still been using and I'm really, really enjoying, but they gave us a discount code for you guys. So you can use code DOCJEN and you would actually get 15% off of the ClearStem website. We're going to have that linked up, but that's just clearstem.com/DOCJEN. And when you use code DOCJEN, you get 15% off anything. And I'm telling you, after you listen to this episode, you're probably going to go right over and want to use that discount. Okay, let's get into the juicy details. Danielle, thank you so much for being here on the podcast. We're excited to have you on. I don't think we've had anyone on that has talked about skin health in particular.
Maybe, but it's been a while.
It's been a long time. Yeah. And there's so many questions that I have of things that get thrown around, especially on social media. And so wanting to just help people understand a little bit more what goes into skincare products and how we can better support our skin.
Oh, I love that. And thank you for having me. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing right now than talking with you and your fabulous audience. Okay, so skincare products, what goes into them? Well, you know, I think it really depends on what you're trying to solve, but there are certain ingredients that benefit pretty much everybody. Like calming ingredients will help with both acne and aging and rosacea and eczema, right? So we use a ton of anti-inflammatories in pretty much all of our formulas. And then there's growth factors that we all need, especially if you've ever broken out, which most people have. Some of us break out regularly because that's just our genetic profile. And a lot of people that work out a lot are taking supplements that help boost testosterone, and that can cause hormonal acne. So we can dive into all of that at your discretion. You just tell me where you want me to go.
Yes, we will be.
And I think starting by, because I mean, it seems like there's this adult acne epidemic, like totally. Everyone is struggling with this in ways that may not have been the case a while back. So, I mean, you mentioned a couple things like different supplements people are taking, things that, you know, weren't as common 10 to 20 years ago, but why is this happening and why do traditional acne solutions tend to fail people?
As a quick side note, I just love that Danielle doesn't just talk about what we put on our body, but what we put in our body that's going to affect our skin health. And this is why I've actually been trying to support my gut health, because I've been feeling bloated lately. So I started to incorporate Needed's pre-probiotics. And let me tell you, I'm already starting to feel a world of a difference. Probiotics are that live bacteria that help to support the balance of good bacteria in the gut. And specifically, when I look at Needed's pre-probiotic, it includes clinically studied spore-forming and non-spore-forming probiotics and prebiotics, including polyphenols, that support key perinatal needs like vaginal balance, digestive comfort, and iron absorption. And I am just so grateful to have a trusted resource with Needed, along with, of course, trying to focus on my foods and my hydration, but it's a lot to handle, especially in motherhood. So I'm really excited to see how this continues to support my gut and what I notice. Now, if you want to check this out and all of their other products I love and I've been using Needed for so long, head over to thisisneeded.com and use code OPTIMAL for 20% off of your order. That's thisisneeded.com and use code OPTIMAL to get 20% off your first order. Okay, let's head back in.
Little backstory on me. I am very genetically prone. It runs in my family. Grade 4 cystic acne on both sides. Normally people have it on one side, like maybe their dad broke out, but he's fine now or whatever. But I had the worst case scenario on both sides of my family. So over the course of my life, I've done Accutane 3 separate times. My acne came right back each time within a couple months. I've been on Retin-A a million times and dealt with all that purging and like the constant peeling. I've done spironolactone multiple times, spent years on antibiotics, switched my birth control. So to your point, most of the time, the traditional treatments do either, you know, have an end date or they just don't work for some people. And that's because our prescription-based medical system, as it relates to acne, does not treat the root causes generally. There's a lot of different root causes. There's a genetic predisposition called retention hyperkeratosis, where people that are chronically acne prone, we generally produce a little more keratin protein and generally have a little more oil. So our pores get clogged more easily. But then there are other triggers for people that could be totally situational, like a certain type of birth control or some type of infection or an egg white sensitivity, which is huge. Egg whites actually cause a ton of cystic acne for a lot of people and they would never guess it. So there's a lot of different triggers and, you know, root causes, as we like to call them. And medications generally only address one or two of those things. Antibiotics, it's just for bacteria. Spironolactone, it's just male hormones. Doesn't address estrogen at all. And then, you know, things like spironolactone, it basically blow torches your oil glands, which is like taking the batteries out of your smoke alarm. And the thing is, once you heal from that, your oil glands heal as well, and then the acne can come back. So we focus on two pillars of helping people understand why those aren't the solutions for them. It's internal and external. Pore clogging ingredients exist in like 95% of skincare. Even stuff that's clean and organic, like for example, coconut oil, very, very thick compared to our natural sebum, and it's too thick for us to sweat out. So even things that are natural and super pure can have filler agents like coconut oil that break us out. And then there's the regular synthetic fillers that nearly every company uses, like skincare, makeup, and sunscreen specifically have these pore clogging waxy filler agents like isopropyl myristate, ethyl hexyl palmitate, isopropyl palmitate, things that are not talked about in medical school or even standard esthetician school. You have to be like a true acne specialist. And that's why this information feels so gatekept and, you know, people struggle for so long. And that's Clearstem's trying to tell everybody what they need to watch out for.
Yeah.
That's so helpful. I mean, understanding too, like why different things don't work long term, you know, and what we really need to start paying attention to. And also acknowledging, I think, you know, it can be genetic and that, you know, you're not broken in that sense, but there's things that we can start paying attention to. And I think that's validating as well, because so often it's like that marketing of like, this shouldn't be happening and that is bad. And, you know, and so allowing people to know that like, okay, well, it's not just me. And sometimes, you know, there's other factors that could be going on and ways that I can better support it and understanding. And when it comes to acne as well, are there like, and I've heard, you know, especially during different phases in your cycle, like maybe you have different areas of the body that tend to break out, like the jaw and the neck? Or like, is that different than acne that breaks out more on the forehead? Like, can we start to understand where those root causes are kind of coming from?
Yes, it's not foolproof, as in, like, you know how there's like face mapping that you'd see and it'll have like a random dot right here in the middle of your cheek and it'll be like gallbladder or some spot on your forehead that's like, you know, stress or something like that, right? Those things can be useful, but the biggest pattern that I would say is most useful for most people, I'll break it down as simply as I can. Forehead, you see most teenagers break out on their forehead. That is testosterone surges, but sugar mainly. Mm-hmm. If you start having a ton of sugar and high glycemic foods in your life, you're going to produce more oil and it's going to show up more on your forehead and then kind of go onto your nose as well. On the chin, there's a couple things that are really specific. If you put your fingers to the corner of your mouth, like right where you'd have a goatee, that is usually dairy and excess vitamin D. I see that all the time. Dairy and D where you'd have a goatee. Yes, there are other things that could affect that area, but if it's just in that spot, eliminate dairy and make sure you're not taking an overly high amount of vitamin D, because that can mess with your hormones for sure. If it's on the jawline and down your neck, that is usually eggs. It can also be something tied to lymphatic stagnation. The egg white protein, the albumin, can create an immune response that affects our lymphatic system. So you'll see it right on the lymph nodes, right under that jaw. And it's so pervasive. And then it can kind of travel into the other lymphatic zones of the face, like around, like from the nose down around the mouth. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely foods that affect the face in pretty consistent ways. But if you have acne all over your face, guarantee you it's something in your products that's touching all over your face.
I mean, that makes sense.
Go.
I mean, and when it comes to understanding products, I mean, I think this is like one of the hardest things. When growing up, I felt like I was very oily. I was using those little oil pads all the time, right?
Same.
To kind of touch up on my face and using products that had like no oil because I didn't want to make myself more oily. And I felt like I was in this constant battle of like oil on my face. Until I started to hear and learn, like, actually, it's not that bad and you can put oil on your face. And when I started to make the shift into away from products that were marketed particularly for oily skin and then into products more that were just really basic and
oil.
Yeah, basically just oil, like I started to see a change in my skin. Why would that be?
Because not all oils are incredibly comedogenic. There's a comedogenic scale. Comedogenic scale is like how likely something is to break you out. It goes from 0 to 5. Think of water as like a 0. It cannot clog your pore. And then there's oils that are not all oils are the same. They're on that spectrum in different ways. For example, coconut oil is a 5 out of 5. If you're acne prone, it's very, very likely to clog your pores and break you out. Then there's avocado oil, topically we're talking about, just topically. Avocado oil is in some clean skincare and it's a 3 out of 5. So if you're not very acne prone, you might be able to use avocado oil and it's great for you. Olive oil is like around a 2. And then there's other oils that are actually a 0, like 0 on the comedogenic scale. Hemp seed oil, which is my favorite for massage. Like if you're prone to body acne, I get a big thing of hemp seed oil on Amazon and use that. And you don't even need to wash it off because it's so good for the skin. And then in skincare, the oils that do well by most people are sunflower oil, safflower oil, generally argan oil, rose hips oil. And then there's a few other ones that, like castor oil is actually acne safe. You don't want to use that all over because it can stimulate hair growth all over the face. But it's like if you put it on your eyebrows to regrow your eyebrows, it won't break you out.
Wow, that's fascinating and actually something I should probably consider. Yeah.
Where does tallow land on that scale? Because I feel like that.
Yeah, that's like a new thing.
Tallow
that
has
everyone's
been becoming,
doing.
You know, all the craze, both for like food preparation and for skincare.
You don't need to buy skincare. Sunscreen. You can just wipe the residue from your pan on your face. Let's do that. Right?
Exactly.
Estheticians don't like beef tallow. For some people, it works great. That's fantastic for them. If whatever works for you is what you should be using. But it is a 2 out of 5 on the comedogenic scale. So people in my community that are truly acne prone are breaking out left and right from beef tallow. Some people say, oh, it helped my acne. And then I suggest like, okay, that's because what you were using was worse. Mm-hmm. Most moisturizers do have really bad pore cloggers. They're on that 4 or 5 out of the scale. And they switch to beef tallow that's only a 2. That will be perceived as helpful. So it, you know, a lot of things are situationally better, and it, you know, everything's only better compared to an alternative. So right. for a beef tallow, for people that are just super crunchy and they like that concept and they don't break out, fantastic for them. Go for it. Me, I would only ever let it touch my feet.
That's interesting.
I feel like that's similar to people who are diehards for a certain diet because it's the first diet. I mean, and I say diet loosely, but they started eating paleo or they started going vegan or vegetarian, but it was just so significantly better than what they were doing previously yes. that it wasn't necessarily that specific diet. It's just that it cut out a lot of other things that may not have been optimal for them to be consuming daily. And it kind of sounds like the same example with the generic moisturizer versus someone who goes to tallow. Like, oh, well, then if you switch to hemp, you might even notice a more significant increase.
That's what I advise people who are still breaking out with the tallow. They're like, my skin's breaking out, but I'm still, my skin's maybe a little bit better, but I'm still breaking out a little bit. I always guide them to hemp oil.
Yeah.
So you brought up cystic acne a couple times, and some people might be familiar with what that is. You've kind of brought up egg whites as being a potential culprit for some people. What else or why else might people be getting cystic acne?
Surges in testosterone, and then also dairy and whey protein. What the whey protein conversation is going to be particularly important for your community because we have a lot of fitness-minded people here. Mm-hmm. And whey protein, I feel like we've all cycled that into our workout routine at some point, right? So whey protein, dairy in general has insulin-like growth factor hormones. Even raw dairy, doesn't matter if it's raw. Raw might be a little better for people that that are like lactose intolerant because it has the enzymes for lactose, but it still has the hormones. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people get cystic acne around their chin and mouth because of dairy, and that can be in the form of Greek yogurt. It can be the whey protein. It can be the creamer they're putting in their coffee, cheese, of course. So I always advise people to do an elimination test for about 2 months. Just make it a big game. Find your non-dairy alternatives. Try them all. Find out what you love and just do no dairy for about 2 months. You should notice pretty quickly how much it's affecting you, and then you purposefully reintroduce it so you understand your unique threshold. Mm. So it's not a forever thing to give these things up, but a strategic elimination diet is necessary. So that's one cause of cystic acne that's really, really common. Egg whites is a big one, and it'll get you on the neck. Like I said, generally, it'll be like right on the lymph nodes. And some people can only have like 2 eggs, and that's their maximum, like 2 eggs a week. And then they go beyond that and they break out. If I have even 1 egg and I'm near my cycle, I will absolutely get a little something in those areas, even after all the Accutane. Wow. So food triggers are a really big deal. Testosterone surges. Those can be caused by really intense HIIT workouts fueled by a lot of caffeine. you know, and it's not like, I don't want to demonize testosterone or anything, but if you have a really big surge, especially women that are getting close to their menstrual cycle when testosterone's already the main player, then you can get hormonal acne around the mouth. Certain vitamins also trigger it. Like too much vitamin D can trigger testosterone in some people, especially if they're deficient, which we all pretty much are. Too much B12 is known to do that as well. And B12 is in all the energy stuff. It's in all the energy drinks and the nootropics and all that stuff. And B12, you can see it in levels like 80,000% RDV. Like they put obscene amounts in it in some of these supplements. So got to watch out for that. That'll also get you on the jawline and it will look like hormonal acne. And then zinc, taking too much zinc can spike testosterone. And you'll get that around the mouth generally is where I see it. If you're breaking out like on the upper lip for no reason, see if there's a bunch of zinc in one of your supplements. Just as an esthetician for the last 11 years, those are the trends I see every single day and every single year.
Wow, that's so fascinating. And it's good to know like what foods to kind of like watch out for, what's in your kind of lifestyle already. But when we're talking about foods that fuel our face and help our skin maybe look, you know, feel collagen and elastin and like the things that we want within our skin, like what should we be doing for our skin?
I love this. Yeah, I hate to like be the voice of doom and not balance it out with all the fun things that we do get to eat. So people are always like, oh my God, what do I do for breakfast? Okay, here's my breakfast. Bacon is still very much in the chat. If you get like organic bacon from like the farmer's market supplier, that is actually better for acne prone skin than eating eggs. So organic bacon, organic turkey bacon, chia seed pudding with like cashew yogurt, and you can do a scoop of vanilla plant-based protein in your non-dairy yogurt, and it makes like a really thick custardy type thing that's kind of like your Greek yogurt. Add some chia seeds in there, some cinnamon, berries, whatever. I like coconut whipped cream and berries with cinnamon. I'll do that for breakfast. There's no rules. And then whatever you had for dinner, savory breakfast is still very much a thing. So a lot of people are having steak for breakfast. Like, good on them.
And are there vitamins that are helpful to be taking when we're talking about acne or rosacea?
Yeah, I'll focus on the acne ones first. Rosacea is a little bit more tricky. But for acne, we actually made a supplement called Mind Body Skin that addresses multiple areas of the body in proportion to what most acne patients' lab work is showing. So DIM is really important for estrogen metabolism because we're all getting exposed to xenoestrogens and, you know, other estrogen-like stuff that gets into our system and it takes the place of the estrogen receptors. So our real estrogen can't do its job. That throws off our hormones. So estrogen metabolism is really important, even for men. So DIM is a very, very effective and reliable way for that. And then there is vitamin B5, pantothenic acid, phenomenal for acne. It helps with inflammation, digestion, oil, anything that supports your liver or your lymphatic system will benefit your skin as well. So we love milk thistle, echinacea, your anti-inflammatory things like, you know, turmeric, and then anything that supports digestion, apple cider vinegar, bitters, digestive enzymes, anything you could do to support digestion. Even it could be something as simple as having hot water with lemon juice before meals, but anything that supports digestion has a cascade positive effect on nearly every other body process, including those that govern your skin. So yeah. Optimized digestion, DIM, B5, vitamin A is really important for acne. Our Mind Body Skin does have that. And then we also like to tackle the stress component of acne because everyone who has a pulse experiences stress and it's really inescapable. So I love 5-HTP. That's also in our Mind Body Skin vitamin, and that helps with like PMS stress and just daily stress response. And then other people do really well with like L-theanine or GABA. I think addressing your stress, you know, externally and internally is really important, and just finding what works for you. You got to test everything.
And you've mentioned that a couple times, this external and internal approach, which I appreciate, especially as someone who produces supplements, like being able to acknowledge like, hey, just adding the supplement in is not going to, you know, the supplement or the product, you're not going to out supplement or, you know, use products to outcompete everything that's happening in your environment. And it has to be that collaborative approach when it comes to our overall health and bringing in the diet. All of this can sound very overwhelming to people, but you've kind of mentioned like just starting small and doing one or two little things in each of these areas. Anything that's approachable for somebody can make pretty massive difference. And it just helps grow that awareness and helps people take ownership over the positive changes that they then will start to see. So I love that. And I want to speak to my demographic, men who aren't as generally aware of their skincare, because you kind of just mentioned like, oh, this is even good for men. And like, I feel like skincare is not something that men think about. If you asked my 10 closest friends, what do you do for like your skincare? They'd be like, oh, well, I wash my face with a bar of soap. Like, is that good? I even hear that putting water on your face too much might be detrimental to your skin health for whatever reason. So what would you say to the person who's just like, oh, I just wash my face with a bar of soap
or don't do anything.
Like, what would you say to encourage them to start prioritizing skin health and why that could be important for them?
Love that. I love working with men in my clinic. It's the best. They're just so curious and they want to do it right and they follow instructions better than anyone else. Okay. So with men, I do think it's better to keep it simple. With if someone's not using much right now and their skin's in a good place, I say don't change a ton. Just get the basic in there, which is a good sunscreen. Zinc-based sunscreen or mineral physical sunscreen, so that's your zinc and titanium, those are the best. So finding a formula that you really like that doesn't have pore cloggers, huge benefit for your skin. And you can just use the checker that's on our website. You don't have to memorize these filler agents. You just copy and paste the ingredient deck into the checker. It'll tell you in red if there's anything that could break you out. So everyone needs a good mineral sunscreen. Aside from that, not so to your point about the water, hot water is actually really detrimental to the skin. It destroys the barrier and that makes you get UV damage a lot faster. And if you have acne, it just keeps you broken out and inflamed and it aggravates the scar tissue. So hot water, and for women, it just makes us age faster. So I always tell people, splash off with cool water in the morning or do a cool cleanse. And then at night, just use lukewarm water, same temperature you would use on a baby.
But I love my hot showers.
Just not on the face. Not on the face, neck,
okay,
or chest.
Okay.
Trust me on this. This will save you.
Yeah. And when it comes to talking about anti-aging, like I want to understand a little bit more because, again, we're marketed with so many products. What should we be putting on our skin? What is there an anti-aging solution when it comes to products, or is that a lie? Like what is true? What is fake?
There are some really good ingredients that do really help with anti-aging. First of all, you want to make sure that your inflammation isn't any higher than it needs to be. So that's where the hot water situation comes into play, because that will keep you inflamed all day, every day. But calming ingredients like green tea is really good in the skincare for nearly everyone. A little bit of turmeric, willow herb. There's a lot of calming botanicals that benefit everybody. But for anti-aging specifically, you want stem cells, peptides, and some people love their retinol. We prefer bakuchiol because it can be less irritating. So peptides are little messenger proteins that cause your body to fix something, right? So the injectable peptides have their specific pathway purpose, but topical peptides tell your collagen and elastin to grow and heal itself. So peptides are a must for an anti-aging routine. And then we love stem cells. We specifically use plant stem cells that are really, really engineered for efficacy. So we use those, and then we use a lot of hyaluronic acid in our serums because your skin just absorbs the moisture really well and it helps with the barrier. And then bakuchiol and retinol, those are your collagen stimulators. Those are more of your like powerhouse anti-aging ingredients. Retinol doesn't work for my skin and it can be really sensitizing and irritating for a lot of people, but bakuchiol is very similar and it doesn't cause the irritation that retinol sometimes can.
That's fascinating.
It's actually the second time, surprisingly, I've heard bakuchiol, and so I feel like that's coming on as kind of a new player in this skin health game. Talking about anti-aging, I know something that's very popular and prevalent is Botox. Mm-hmm. And even the conversation of Botox as being a more preventative measure for skin health, or this, you know, aging or preventing wrinkles as we age. So where do you land on using Botox?
I think it's such a personal choice, to each their own. I think the whole people get overdone. I think a lot of it just has to do with your injector and are they doing the right minimal amount for the things that you need. If they're just throwing 60 units at your forehead to completely knock you out, that's not in your best interest. That's in their best interest. So having an injector that you stick with who actually says no to you sometimes is a good trustworthy person. If they're just like, yeah, let's do the maximum of everything all the time, you're going to look super weird and it can be toxic for some people. I personally never really liked Botox. I just feel like I'm cuter when I'm able to raise my eyebrows. But for some people, it's really great for other things. Like if they squint a lot, it can help relax that. Some people just do it to train their muscles to stop doing a certain motion. I think it's just whatever floats your boat.
Okay. So, but not like it's going to be toxic to the skin or anything like that.
Not to the skin. People do have some concerns about whether it, you know, what it can do to the brain, hypothetically. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen enough to really think that it's like detrimental. To put it in perspective, I think drinking a glass of alcohol is worse than Botox. So it's like people like to split hairs on toxicity. And I'm like, if you're still drinking alcohol, like focus on that first.
Agreed. Yeah. Right. That's a very good point. Very good perspective to put it into as well. And I want to talk a little bit more on like the skincare treatments because there's a lot out there that you can go and get. And so I want to understand what's beneficial and what maybe isn't as beneficial. Like say you're going to get a facial, or you're going to get specific treatments like laser or microneedling or, you know, different things. So what would you recommend?
Ooh, okay. So depending on your concern, let's talk to the people that are struggling with acne and they're going to get facials to help with breakouts. It's hard because a lot of estheticians and med spas aren't familiar with pore clogging ingredients. So they'll do a nice exfoliation, but then their moisturizer and sunscreen can have pore cloggers that break you out. So if you've ever had a facial and broken out worse from that, don't go back to that place. There are some estheticians that are certified acne specialists, and there's a couple brands that can be helpful. Like for someone listening to this who needs help, I would go to like a Face Reality acne specialist. They are the most trained and competent in acne. And then for someone who just wants general anti-aging, I would say microneedling like once a quarter is phenomenal for collagen stimulation. And because it doesn't use heat, it's very low chance of unwanted side effects. Once you start incorporating heat, you can trigger melasma, hyperpigmentation, hypopigmentation, which is white spots that are nearly irreversible. So I don't recommend starting with high heat treatments, especially if you haven't even tried microneedling yet. Microneedling is also less expensive, and you can increase the efficacy by doing PRP with it. That's AKA the vampire facial. Those really do work. And then regular standard facials, there's a few different kinds. A lot of people ask about the hydrofacial. I think for anti-aging and hydration, the hydrofacial is phenomenal. It's not my favorite for acne though, because a lot of their formulas have some pore cloggers in there.
You mentioned earlier too that even just the type of workouts that people are doing. I think specifically we're talking about testosterone spikes during like a very, you know, aggressive or high intensity workout. So if someone's listening and they're like, okay, I do HIIT workouts, I struggle with acne, I'm hesitant to give up my HIIT workouts. Like, what would be a good type of workout regimen or workout program for somebody who thinks that could be something contributing to their acne?
I think it would be, this is a cortisol and testosterone conversation, especially if you're doing your HIIT workouts in the morning. Most people get up, they have their coffee, and then they go do their workout. There's nothing inherently wrong with that, but if you're struggling with acne or a hormonal imbalance of some kind, it could be very unhelpful and be making it worse. So I would say just if you want to do your HIIT workout, like that's what you do, try to do it in the afternoon if you can, after your cortisol has had a chance to come down. And then, or you could switch to like something like Pilates, mm-hmm. long walks, something like that. And just do that for like 3 weeks and then see if your skin has calmed down. You should be able to tell within a couple of weeks whether something is working in your favor or not.
Kind of like the elimination diet for exercise.
Yes. And it's all about elimination diets. If you work with a, you know, endocrinologist or, you know, a top functional medicine person, doing elimination diets is where everyone starts. So this is, you know, if you want to avoid spending thousands of dollars on going straight to like high cost functional lab work, first off, do the basics in the form of elimination diet. So dairy, sugar for most people, and then eggs are the top three things that they'll have you eliminate first and then reintroduce to see what their effect is on you. And you get a ton of information just by doing that.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the same thing you mentioned with eggs and cystic acne. It's like, okay, maybe they just need to hone in on what their tolerance is. And if they have to do it in the morning because of work or something, maybe instead of doing 4 or 5 HIIT workouts a week, they land on 2 or 3. And it's not like you're going to completely need to take it out. And then you can maybe HIIT another one sometime in the week in the afternoon or evening when you have that time. So it's all about like learning more about your body.
Yeah, learning and testing and having the curious mindset. Don't make this stuff feel like a chore or a burden. Just be like, all right, I have 3 weeks and I'm going to learn as much as I can. So I'm going to test these things. And you just get curious about what the results are going to be for you.
And I want to go back a little bit too, because I have heard previously that if there is water in a product, it is being diluted. It is selling you something that's not really going to be helpful because water is just going to dry up the skin. And basically that you should avoid water in all skincare products.
True. Highly disagree. And I do think that is the trend spread by the olive oil MLM folks. There's an I forget what it is. Something it's all based on olive oil, and the only people I see say things like that are the MLM sellers of that brand. So no shade, that's fine. Like some of those products might work for some people, but a cosmetic chemist would never ever say that, by the way. So water, that's like saying your cake is watered down because you needed a half a cup of water to make it. Mm-hmm. Like it's just not accurate. So if there is water in something, it's generally because the pH is really important, and pH stands for potential hydrogen. And sometimes that is the best way that a company can guarantee the pH of something is what they want it to be. Because if you're using just straight up oil products all the time, those are generally a little more alkaline, and over time, it could be disruptive to your barrier. Your skin's like a pH of around 5.5. So pH is important, and being able to know what the pH is important. And then sometimes it'll be like a little bit of water and then a bunch of things added to it, in which like it makes the absorbability and permeability of the product more substantial. Nobody's doing that just to make a product cheaper or water it down. It's negligible cost. That's not why folks are doing it. There is a cosmetic chemistry purpose behind the formulas for the most part.
And that's typically what the real answer is when you actually go back and know formulations and know chemicals. It's like, you know, but I think it's easy to fall down the rabbit hole of people saying sensational things and then believing it, right? Because we don't know any better. And so yeah. I love how you break it down so that it makes more sense. And, you know, and also, can we talk about shelf life a little bit when it comes mm-hmm. to products? Like, how long should they be lasting, you know, before we are getting concerned, like, this is something that can last for years and years, like 10 years? Like, is that something that's probably not great for us? Does that have too much other stuff that we don't want in our products? On the flip side, should it be lasting, you know, just a few weeks? Like, what is the kind of aim that we should be looking for?
Yeah, so shelf life, it really depends on once the product's been opened and what the packaging is like and whether the formula is exposed to air or if it's in an airless pump. Some formulas are meant to be stable on the shelf for at least 2 years. I think that's the norm. And that's because everything is really sanitary and quality checks are phenomenal to make sure nothing is growing. And it's sealed up really, really well. And it's able to last that long. 10 years would be extreme. I don't think there's much that could last 10 years. I don't know that I'd want to use that. There's probably a ton of parabens in that. Yeah, I think 2 years is like the norm. And then they also go through most products go through a testing, like a heat testing, where they put it in an oven and they see if it can stay stable, or if the product separates, or if the mm-hmm. actives diminish under heat. So most products do have that tested as well. And a good formula is going to have a stable pH, and it's going to be formulated in a way where the actives are like harmonious with each other. Mm-hmm. If you were to put something like, say, a strong glycolic acid with exosomes, that would not work because it would eat the exosomes, essentially. So most people would never do that, but you know, I've seen crazier things. So having a formula where it's designed for the purpose and it's designed to be a very specific place in your routine, like a moisturizer that helps with collagen. It's not a moisturizer and an exfoliant and a scrub. You know what I mean? So it's like making sure that the products are designed for what they're intended to do. And then once you open the product, always use it within 6 months. Hopefully you use it a little bit sooner than that. But yeah, use it within 6 months for sure.
That's good to know.
So being that we're in the age of social media consumption, and that's where many people get their information, are there any other skincare myths that you see that are very prevalent that just like boil your blood, that you're like, this is not right, and everyone is believing it? I know you keep saying you don't want to throw shade on anyone or anything, but let's throw some shade on your least favorite social media skincare myth.
Oh, God, it boils my blood when old school derms try to say that diet doesn't impact acne. Like, those are the derms that got their education back in like the 50s when doctors still smoked in the room with their patients, and they haven't bothered to educate themselves past that. Diet absolutely impacts the skin, but the average medical program only provides about 11 to 20 hours of any nutritional education. And it's not for acne. It's contraindications for prescriptions they'll be writing, like don't have grapefruit if you're on statins, et cetera. So, It really pisses me off when people, that their first oath is to do no harm, and they're putting girls on a ton of toxic medication that can impact their fertility when they could have just had them do an elimination diet with dairy first.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's a really big
point. Fair.
Yeah.
I was studying biology and I fully intended to go to med school when I was in college. I was studying biology, genetics, immunology, and I come from a family of scientists. Like, it was my jam. I was for sure going to medical school, but I got so disillusioned with our medical system because of my acne experience. I would show up as a bio student with a list of basic questions. Hey, what should I be eating? I notice when I drink a lot, my skin's worse. Why is that? These are basic questions, folks. And my doctors were super nice, but they were not able to provide any real answers. They just said there's no studies on that. But most mean very, very well. Most are just handcuffed by the medical system. And a lot of doctors are unhappy with this, and they're limited by their treatment options, especially when it comes to running labs. They get penalized and punished if they run too many labs that are deemed not medically necessary.
Right. I know. And then the insurance doesn't want to pay for it. I know.
Which, who's determining what's medically necessary and where do those recommendations come from? It is. I mean,
they wait until you're actually sick.
It's a whole systemic challenge that there was a long time. I mean, Jen and I, we're both doctors of physical therapy who no longer practice within the traditional medical system for a lot of frustrations that are different for physical therapy and rehab. But it is. I for a long time wanted to be mad at providers who didn't want to like fight the crusade. But it is when you're living in this system that only allows you to practice in a certain way, like, and doesn't really give you the time to advocate for doing things differently, it's really difficult. And so as a consumer of healthcare, anyone listening just needs to know, like, come in with the questions, find a provider who's open to that, because they are out there, and try to say, this is important to me, and I really would love to know what I can be eating that can help, you know, my acne journey or whatever it is. So
who to refer to.
And if you find something out that worked for you, tell your doctor too, so they can tell their patients. So I feel the sharing of information has to be a community kind of thing. And so many doctors are wonderful, and a lot of them have come to work for ClearSem. We even have, he doesn't work for us, but he's on our team, Dr. Omar Ibrahim. He's Ivy League trained. He's done laser fellowships. He is brilliantly smart and educated, and he knew there was more to the acne conversation that was like not allowed to be talked about. So he actually found out about us based on the clinical results we were getting. Like, word got around about that in the testing, you know, arena. He approached us and he's like, I love what you're doing. He actually recommends our hormonal acne supplement to some of his patients when Accutane's not a desirable option, or if they're already on spironolactone and it's not working well enough, he recommends that. So there is an awakening going on. It's just like, what did they do about it, considering the system is so closed off to outside thinking?
That's amazing. And congratulations for being able to have those results that really speak for themselves. And I want to talk about a few of your products as well, because things that I have been cycling in regularly right now, really just to know how I feel and what I'm noticing, and truly be someone who's trying it out. A couple of the serums. So I have your Bounce Back and the Cell Renew, right?
Yes.
Is that the two serums? And then I also have the Hydro Glow, which all feel amazing. So I want to know a little bit more about what are these doing? why do your products stand apart from others? And lastly, I just want to know about like a regular skincare routine you kind of recommend, because you can look on also on social media and see like a 10-step routine that you should be doing every day. So what is it that we really should be doing?
I love that. You're on my favorite products, by the way. So the three that you mentioned, the Cell Renew, Bounce Back, those are both serums. And then the Hydro Glow is our moisturizer. Those are going to be your moisturizing and anti-aging. That's your moisturizing and anti-aging suite. There are some exfoliants that are really important for the skin and a really good sunscreen, but we can send you those another time. But so Cell Renew is our scar reversal serum. That one is your classic serum texture. It's lightweight, it's hydrating, it absorbs really well into the skin and gives you a little glow. The actives in it are plant stem cells and calming herbs. It has like a nice herby kind of smell. So there's willow herb, green tea, and saw palmetto, which is really good for acne. So it calms the skin down. It helps with inflammation and scarring and general hydration and loveliness. Bounce Back is your anti-aging powerhouse. That stuff is gold. So that one has three different types of peptides in very high concentrations. Mm-hmm. Concentration is another, you know, important topic, because a lot of companies will put out products that say peptide, but it'll be like 0.1%. We use the maximum amount of every single ingredient in ours. So it has three different peptides that stimulate collagen and help with wrinkles specifically. And then it also has the stem cells in it. Stem cells are kind of like a skin superfood that allows your skin to heal optimally. And the peptides are directing, hey, collagen, heal us, heal yourself. So that's what Bounce Back does. It's nicknamed our No Botox Serum. And then HydroGlow is your moisturizer. It's most moisturizers do break people out. I mean, anyone with acne is terrified to moisturize, right? So this one has no pore cloggers, but it also has the stem cells and bakuchiol with, so that helps with collagen stimulation. So even if someone, even if you're not ready to get like three different products from ClearStem yet, I recommend starting with the HydroGlow since most moisturizers are problematic. If you remove a problem and then put ours in, you could see massive change just from that.
And it does feel really good. I have to say, I've been using it every single morning. So thank you for that. And I really have been feeling great with it. So, but it's cool for me to understand a little bit more of what it's doing, why, you know, to, I don't know, just to help myself understand what I'm putting on my body.
Collagen stimulation and regeneration and hydration. That's what those three
Love
are doing.
It. Love it. Amazing.
Those are all ones where it's the more the merrier too. You can just like, you can layer in that order too, if you want to. Some people do Cell Renew in the morning, Bounce Back and HydroGlow at night. That's what I do, but there's no wrong way to use those. You can mix and match. You can layer however you want and you can use them as often as you want.
Amazing.
I'm kind of feeling left out. I'm going to need to steal some of these when she's not in the room to see if I can get my HydroGlow on. But Danielle, I appreciate this conversation. I feel like it's been so enlightening for me. I mean, there's a few things, specifically the water, like if water's an ingredient, it's going to dry my skin out. I mean, there's just these things that are so pervasive in the health and wellness scene, especially when it comes to skincare. And I appreciate all that you're doing on a clinical front, you know, fighting the battle everywhere to continue to get this message out and help provide incredible products for people. Where can people go to learn more about ClearStem or get some of the products or even use that tool? I love the sound of that tool you were talking about where you can copy paste the ingredients and learn more about the products you might already be using.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, that's step one, using that checker. So if you go to clearstem.com, it's C-L-E-A-R-S-T-E-M. Clear skin and stem cells. That's where the name ClearStem comes from. So go to clearstem.com. That's our website. You'll get a ton of information. Our blog and educational archives are expansive. So if you want to nerd out, you will love it. But the checker is also on there. It's just called our pore clogging checker. And then socials, ClearStem Skincare across all channels. And I personally am at Danielle, the acne guru.
Amazing. Thank you so much again for all that you're doing and helping to educate, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you guys. Likewise. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us for another episode. Hopefully you learned a few things about healing adult acne or really seeking out those skincare products that are actually going to work. If you're interested in checking out anything from ClearStem, make sure you use code DOCGEN to get 15% off your order. That link will be down in the show notes. And please pass this episode along to anyone who you know who might be dealing with skin conditions or looking for good skincare products. If you haven't, please consider leaving a rating and review on your favorite podcasting platform because that just helps us so, so much. And we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.